listening to the Lincoln Cast for the week of February 23rd. This is episode 40. My name is Thurbleton, and I'm joined by Durin. How you doing, man?
My name is not Thurbleton. My name is Durin. We're off to a great start already, guys.
Fish is not very good.
Nailed it.
So good. We're doing this sort of live.
How much more live do you get than this, other than like going to each individual person's home and reciting it?
Going to the houses with a script that's like it's. Still
I don't think. I don't think
that's
anybody
right,
wants
boys.
Noob in their house.
Post your addresses.
Here's ad libbing.
Post your addresses. Like cast is now delivery.
No, nobody wants noob in their house, Thurb. This
actually,
is as live as we can legally get.
Actually, no. We will have a more live show, and I'm saying this now
true.
Is because Shinboy is taking promised as of right now to take his mic to PAX East with everybody else, and they'll do a show there. If it turns to anime, though, Shinboy has sworn up and down that he would just pack the microphone up and walk out.
Which it is very likely to do, having
very like
the people that are going to be there.
New Barama's going to walk there. I mean,
all right.
Yeah.
Hitchhike or fly or something, but he's going to walk. But now, buddy. And next week I will be at Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle. If anybody is in Seattle and likes comic books, check me out there.
Nobody likes comic books.
Chance to go to Seattle.
If you're a pretty lady, Thurb will sign your chest.
You know what? If you have one chance to go to Seattle this year, go to PAX Prime. Don't go to Comic Con.
Yeah, PAX Prime. Mm. I'm definitely planning on going to PAX Prime as well.
So you could meet there and get your chest.
God willing, I will try.
But does Canada have any podcasts, Noob?
There's the Great White North podcast. That is really just a white supremacist podcast. So, but yeah.
But everything good with you, buddy?
I'm tired. Cynic left us. It's like, was it like Cynic's idea? He's like, let's do a live show, guys. Let's
I know, right? Yeah.
Do a live show. And then he's like,
bastard.
Oh, guess I can't be on the podcast anymore. Sorry. I talked too much about PS2 and played too much Pigeons.
Well, let's talk about PS2 and then talking for 4 hours with Durin for PS4.
Oh,
yeah, we did that. That was fun.
Just the two of you.
Just the two of us.
Fucking four.
That won't work. Just something to phone me long enough to listen.
Was it a lot like her Let's Play where there were just like long stretches of silence?
No, it was 4 hours of straight talking.
Did you guys talk about fashion?
Well,
no.
How long was the actual PS4 announcement? Like an hour.
2 hours.
Hours. Doubled the length of the actual announcement. That is NFL breakdown quality right there.
Well, we talked about a lot more things than they did, because we also talked about the potential future stuff, like what we might be able to expect out of the system, pricing, the potentials that it could have for the industry as a whole, breaking down some of those pie in the sky ideas they had for the Gaikai stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Why were they all wearing blazers and jeans?
I don't understand. Is that what a game
developer wears?
I guess that's
as cleaned up as they can get.
It's like really formal, but it's not too formal. Because
I've seen
like gamers,
David Jaffe on
so
multiple
like
occasions.
Casual.
I can believe it.
It's disappointing.
No, it was the only part that was disappointing in terms of like aesthetically. Or just visually, it was when the Bungie guys were up on stage. That was the
You're
most
just like standing there
awkward.
So weirdly with the arms.
Yeah, we don't know.
I was uncomfortable, and I wasn't even there.
Yeah,
it was. Oh, it was terrible.
And like, it's the weird thing is they only had one guy to talk, and
right.
He wasn't moving his hands. And then the like, three guys in the background were even worse and standing there. Like,
right, like it reminds me of like the fucking I'm totally blanking on the Oscars. When you have like a group of people that like will win something or whatever, and they all go up there, one person talks, everyone just stands around smiling, and then they walk off stage.
It's like they're generally there, like looking pretty or something. But
true,
these guys were just like they didn't know what to do with either like their arms and their legs, so they were standing in a really weird posture. It's like they're about to dash for it, and then their arms were just like stretched out to the sides.
And like one of the guys, his blazer looked like it was like maybe two sizes too big on him. Like he was wearing daddy's blazer or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. I don't know. It wasn't as bad. I found it offensive when they put up Ubisoft French people. Frogmen.
You realize they're like French though. Like, you don't have to hate them. It's okay.
They're not French Canadian. They're straight French. I mean, you like
Sacre bleu.
So they are cheese eating surrender monkeys. Yes, but that's not their fault that they're born into that. Don't hate them.
Just like we're born into, you know.
All right. Well, I guess we'll figure out what's Durin. What you've been up to? What you've been playing?
Not as much Guild Wars 2 this week, actually.
That's a bummer.
I played a little bit here and there. I've been, you know, continuing to level my warrior. Finally took him into AC, and that was fun. AC story.
I need to do AC story.
We do story nights every Sunday? Yeah, story Sundays. And we did AC.
I think Rayos is running story Sundays, yeah.
Yeah. So last week we did AC. A bunch of us went in there with some alts. So that was fun. You know, being able to play a class that can, you know, maybe stand in some damage every once in a while was different. Other than that, I played a little bit of Age of Conan Unchained.
Wow.
Okay. Is that like Django Unchained? Except Conan?
I mean, does Django Unchained have nudity?
Yes, it does.
Then yes, it is.
Conan boobies.
Yeah, but all up ends. All up ends. I don't know. I didn't get to that city yet to find out if he had boobies. But I'll ask him next time I'm on his talk show.
You didn't play? Did you play the MMO of it, or was it just some?
Yeah, it's the MMO.
Okay,
it's basically Conan Hyborian Adventures. It's the MMO that has gone free to play. That's where the Unchained came from. And then Blood because Extreme.
It's Unchained because it doesn't cost a lot of money. What?
Yeah. It's actually not terrible from what I played so far. I don't know about the end game. It probably drops off at some point. But, you know, it is kind of the old school stand in place, use your abilities type of MMO. So if you're into more of the action stuff, clearly not for you. But, I mean, it's you know, it's decent. It looks really good. They've clearly done some visual work on it. It actually surprisingly supports DX10.
I'm interested about the movie physics.
They do. Not Korean booby physics, though, noob.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are they better than the jet? Like the was
are they Korean better alive beach volleyball 2 level or like
no. A little more toned down than that. But it's cool because like I got it on Steam
censorship
and I got this redemption code for a cloak and I downloaded it or you know accepted it, redeemed it, whatever. And like I was like, man, this looks really cool. I wonder why I got this. I could not figure out for the life of me why I got it. And then when I went into an inn, it pushed my camera up like against the door after I loaded into the inn. And I noticed on the back of the cloak was the fucking Steam symbol like built into the cloak. Like it was made out of like bones and shit. Like it was really cool looking.
It's like the Steam t-shirt they had in the Secret World if you bought Secret World on Steam.
It's not quite as Steam blatant as that. Like they actually did a good job of like, because there's a whole bunch of detail to it. They kind of did a decent job of like blending it into the rest of the detail. But yeah, I mean, it's not that I'm going to leave Guild Wars 2 for, but you know, it's no Wizardry Online either. So it seems decent. I played a couple characters, like a warrior type character and a priest. And then a bunch of us, shortly before like recording.
That still conforms to the Holy Trinity and it's still doing pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, it still conforms to the Holy Trinity. I can't say it's doing pretty good because it failed on the subscription model, so I had to go free to play. And I haven't really grouped with anybody. I've been doing nothing but solo stuff.
I mean, I'm okay with the Holy Trinity as a concept. Oh, yeah. I just don't like the whole. I didn't like what WoW evolved to, so where it was just like healing became whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
And it just didn't seem like it seemed less skill based and more just look at the birdie.
Pretty much. I mean, being somebody who played a healer all the way up until Guild Wars 2, yeah. So I don't know. Like I said, I've been doing nothing but solo stuff, so I'm not sure how the group dynamic works, if it works.
Are you playing a female character or a male character?
My warrior fighter dude is a male. My priest is a female. Oh. And with the free, you have two character slots. So those are my two characters I have. The other two are like a ranger, I think. So basically, actually, the way the classes are broken down, there's four base classes or base archetypes, And within those archetypes, there are like three classes you can choose.
Okay.
So like in the warrior one, there's like the tanky one, the one that's kind of a more like a paladin, except it's dark magic, like dark magic and heavy armor. And then there's another one that is, I forget what it was, but I think it's more of like a berserker type of thing where it's heavy armor,
Conan, barbarian, weapons,
that kind of stuff. And then, you know, priest, there's three different types of priest. I think there was a mage then, there were three different types of, or like shaman or something. I don't remember. But yeah, that's basically how the classes are built out. So there's actually quite a few classes. In the free-to-play, there's a race that's locked to you, so...
Eh. Is it better than the Secret World, or significantly worse?
The game as a whole? I haven't played enough of it to really say, but it's better. But Secret World's better.
Okay. Right on.
I mean...
Right on.
Secret World just has a lot more flexibility, and the quests are a lot more interesting, and the world is kind
voice acting's great.
Yeah, voice acting is amazing in that game. Not so much in Conan, but it's
just because everyone's a barbarian.
It's surprisingly decent, I would say. Mm-hmm. Like especially this long after it had come out, and you know with the direction MMOs have gone since then, I was kind of surprised. I was sort of expecting something maybe a little better than Wizardry Online. But it's actually, you know, significantly better. Aside from that, a bunch of us shortly before recording were playing Firefall in the open beta weekend.
Wait, that game's in open beta?
That game's in open beta for this weekend.
That game is actually a real thing and not just a event at PAX.
It is both. It is both a real game that is in beta and has been, I think, for years, as well as an event at PAX.
I mean, it's with games like that and BioShock Infinite, it's great that it's actually become a reality. But for the longest time, it's like I don't know if this is this real.
Yeah, well, and what's weird too is like that game has been in beta for a long, long time, like the things you're able to do in it are incredibly limited. Like you can only get up to like a tier two, I forgot what to call it, but like your body armor thing, It seems like most of the content really revolves around thumping and taking points.
What is thumping?
So thumping is basically you have this big ass hammer that you smack the ground with and it gives off like seismic readings and you can tell where good places to thump are.
No, I'm disappointed. I thought thumping was going to be something arousing.
No. And then once you found a prime place to thump, then you drop your thumper, which is basically this like thing that is dropped from orbit into the ground, and it begins to, I guess, like pulse the ground to pull resources up out of the ground. The whole while it's happening, there are like insects attacking.
So, you get it to get resources, but at the same time, it will attract bad guys to it as well.
Yeah,
and so you have to fend them off or something.
Yeah, basically fend them off and keep it alive until it gets up to 100% capacity, and then you. Interact with it to make it shoot back up into space and get your reward, I guess. I don't really know.
Beans.
Like, that's kind of the thing about that game. Like, the combat can be kind of fun. The classes can be interesting. The way you, like, the things you can do with your character and kind of change them out. Like, I was playing a healing character, but I could totally wear, like, an assault mech armor and it would change, like, my weapons and stuff. But I think my base abilities, but I'm not really sure. But, like, all of that is interesting. But then the things you actually do in the game are fairly mundane. So I don't know.
Like, is it just me, or does this logo look a lot like StarCraft logo?
What, Firefalls?
Yeah, incredibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I agree. Like
StarCraft.
Are you still holding out for the
enigmatic?
Enigmatic. Screw English today. Screw English this podcast. But the enigmatic alien race that's like not the Zerg with the Protoss to show up. Because you play as humans, don't you?
Yeah, you play as humans and then there's the bugs. So
yeah, and you fight bugs.
Yeah.
And so it's just missing
the Protoss. I want to say like these Firefall guys, like a bunch of them I think are actually ex-Blizzard guys. So wouldn't really surprise me too much. There are guys you can fight. Like I said, the other thing you do when you're not thumping
ghost field.
The other thing you do when you're not thumping is you are like taking points back from this like NPC race that are coming in and like trying to grab the points and you got to hold them or take them back from them, that kind of thing. And those are like They're no Protoss. I can't even tell if they're human or not. I don't think they are.
Eldar?
But they're alien.
I believe they are alien, yeah. So, yeah.
This trope is getting really old. I don't know. Is it that they're just copycatting each other? No one wants to come up with a new idea? Or is it just like it's tried and true? Because Halo did the same thing.
I think just aliens are easy.
Yeah.
Like aliens are easy, but it's just like the bug aliens and the super smart aliens.
Well, yeah.
Well, it can't be super stupid aliens because then they can't get off the planet.
Well, no. I mean, like, I liked
moderately smart aliens.
Like, oh, they're not bugs. They're just orcs, and they're stupid as all get out, but they breed like crazy, like rabbits.
Yeah. I mean, I don't. Yeah, but then that's the thing. Like, there are those two things. There are the humans, the orcs, and the better beings or whatever, and then there are the humans, the bugs, and the better beings.
There's the chaos humans. Those guys are that's a nice twist on it.
That's
the
creative. Chaos? Basically what I'm saying is expect to see that at PAX Prime as well. I don't think that game's coming out anytime soon.
Oh, and probably at PAX East as well.
Well, definitely PAX East.
Yeah.
Maybe even PAX East next year. Who knows? Probably. By the bet.
Well, I mean, like, is ArenaNet going to have a booth at PAX East?
I don't know.
They can't really show anything off.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, they don't really... I mean, I guess they can maybe show off, like, the next phase of Fire and Frost.
That's kind of silly, though.
But, I feel like with their model of MMO, like, kind of this constant small update thing, they don't really have anything to ever really bring to a trade show anymore. Like, even
if they announce another expansion.
Yeah.
Right. The next thing we can see something is an expansion.
Okay.
So I would say, like, if we expect to see them, if the rumors about an expansion by holiday 2013 are true, I would say, expect to see them at E3.
Right.
I mean, it's...
Maybe not E3. Maybe E3 is a little big for what they're wanting to do. Maybe, like, PAX Prime.
Or Guild Wars Con.
Guild Con.
And it has nothing to do with guilds, because that's what Guild Wars is not about.
No, that's when they finally release a last online feature.
Yeah.
Coming to the first Guild Con.
No, that's going to be the third expansion. They need to space these things out.
Yeah. But you only get the last online function if you go to the Guild Con as a pre-order incentive.
And then you like them on Facebook and then follow them on Twitter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure. So depressing.
Yeah.
At some point I can see game companies doing more of that. You liked us on Twitter? Here's a new hat. Just thanks.
You know what?
They have the Facebook games that they make that are like tie-ins to their main games, so it's not that different.
I don't know. Like with those add-on games and like the card games that come out of those, like the MMOs and whatnot. Those we usually still see at the conventions. But yeah, on the one side, it'd be nice to see ArenaNet at conventions just so you can actually tackle the devs and ask them questions.
Right.
But it's, you're probably right. They probably won't be at conventions.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer.
I mean, like I said, they have to have a reason to, pack it all up and go there.
And, okay. I mean, anything new with you, sir?
So, like always, I'm playing Victoria 2, won the American Civil War as the Confederates, abolished slavery.
I have something to say about Victoria 2.
Yeah?
I loaded that game up.
Uh-huh.
And I attempted to go through the tutorials of that game.
Uh-oh.
Is there a college course I need to take to understand the complexities of that game?
Actually a four-year university course with
honors. Okay, see that explains it. Yeah, I'm going to need you to just fucking hold my hand through a scenario of that game, because goddamn, they're shit. That game is intense.
Yeah, it is pretty intense.
They don't fuck around.
It's like action-packed and intense. I agree.
Yeah, I wouldn't say action-packed. It is intense.
While I was fighting the American Civil War, I was fighting the good fight. And then I liberated the North from the lack of slavery. And then I abolished slavery altogether and made the Confederate States of America, and then fought war with Britain. And then nothing.
See, all of this stuff sounds really cool. But the problem is, I've seen how that game plays, and the things I would have to do to have these kinds of stories.
It's almost like Eve.
Yeah.
Eve.
Except Eve is
like crazy because it's multiplayer. This is more like crazy because of what you do rather than what other people do.
Yeah, but it's the same process. Yeah,
it's those ridiculous complexities, though.
The setup to these amazing things
is
really boring.
Yeah.
Or at least tedious. So.
That's true. Today I was like trying to play an uncivilized nation, Hawaii, because my friend got to being the second most powerful country in the world is Hawaii, the Kingdom of Hawaii, of course. And what I ended up doing was I started the game and then I alt-tabbed and I just had it run in the background because there was literally nothing to do. And I guess partly there's some of that, but for the most times, I don't know, you're driving at the wheel of your country. You can driving do stuff.
See, you say that, and that just makes me want to play Euro Truck.
That game's got greenlit on Steam,
which apparently, like, after you get past the silliness of it, it's actually like really fun to play.
It's greenlit on Steam, but it's actually $10 cheaper on Amazon. You can get it for $29.
But don't you want to support the devs, Durin? Why don't you want to support the devs?
I'm still buying it.
Support the devs either way.
I'm not picking it up on Pirate Bay.
If you're a dev who makes Euro Truck simulators, you probably need the support. I'll be honest.
They need that extra $10.
Yeah.
Yeah. Clearly.
But then I can't put that $10 into my race wheel.
No, you can't. No, you can't.
The gear shifter.
You need like an authentic driver truck, or not truck driver. Yeah, truck driver cockpit, basically.
Otherwise, I think I'll settle for the hat.
Trucker hat.
Well, see, if I get the hat, then I can get track IR.
I guess
and then just a whole world of possibilities open up.
Oh.
How much is track IR?
Also,
I don't know. Probably too much, though.
They did like a developer diary for a new Victoria expansion. I came to the realization of how sad at what kind of stuff I'm getting excited for nowadays. It's like they announced features newspapers, which basically allows you to, which basically like sums up all of the things you've done in the last half year, and then puts them into text format and just pops up as an event. So I became super excited for that.
So basically, Hitman.
Right, and then it basically turned the national spending slider into three sliders, so I can control Navy, land, and industry. And I'm like, shit, this is the greatest thing to happen to video games in a long time.
So basically SimCity, then.
Oh, God,
SimCity. It is like a war version of SimCity, the more he talks about it.
I'm just trying to like reduce this down to the most basics, just to
like the fact that there's just times where you just have to wait.
I'll simplify for you. If you like SimCity, buy Victoria 2. That's my recommendation. Don't listen to them.
I've already bought SimCity.
I can tell you they're not the same game.
So excited for SimCity.
Besides, I got a slew of other games that keep me busy until next weekend.
I'm just glad I only spent $6 on Victoria. Because
you got to get the House Divided expansion and then Darkest Parts or whatever it was called.
The Darkest Parts.
I guess also I've been playing...
I think Jeff knows all about the Darkest Parts.
Yeah, Red Orchestra 2, I've sort of rediscovered it, and I just realized it's like the best game in terms of atmosphere of a war zone. There's a lot of tension and like grittiness when you, like the feel of getting a shot and hitting someone in that game is just so rewarding.
Were you like shitting on that game a few months ago?
When was I shitting on that game? I love Red Orchestra.
I'm pretty sure you were shitting on that game a few months ago. See,
my first dream, which I fulfilled, was to be a Japanese high school girl and finding a hot love adventure. But my second dream in life is to become a hero of Stalingrad, which Red Orchestra 2 has let me be a hero of Stalingrad.
I don't even know, noob.
I don't want to. Is there anything else you've been playing there, sir? Or just.
Well, of course, I've been playing 8 hours of Hatful Boyfriend with Cynic, which is just.
We can find that about that
there
later,
are
I guess.
Such long stretches of boring. It's gone to the fact that where I just open up Wikipedia and while Cynic's is clicking through dialogue, I'm just reading facts about sloths and panda bears. For example, did you know the maximum speed of a sloth on the ground is 2 meters per minute? And in the air or in the trees, it's double that.
What's the speed in the air? What's the terminal velocity?
It depends on what you throw it out of. Like a trebuchet could definitely get a lot more speed than a catapult, but probably, I don't know, Also, their grip is so strong that when they're like hung up on trees and like a poacher shoots them and kills them, like they'll still be hanging on to the tree after they're dead.
Cool.
Alrighty.
Yeah.
So Thurb, what are you playing?
Thank you, Duren. I have been playing some Natural Selection 2 is the new game I've been playing this week.
So how is that?
It's actually a lot of fun. The very first thing after like getting into it, well, it's got a pretty big first boot process. Like, you know, most Steam games or most games in general, like the initial boot is tough time-wise. But then also your first time loading into a game, it's like two to three minutes of like you're loading the shaders for the first time and everything. Oh, wow. But after that, it's pretty acceptable. The other really cool thing is they have tutorial videos, like really in-depth ones, like I'd say 12 to 14 tutorial videos.
Okay, I thought you were going to say they were 12 to 14 minutes long each.
No, they're like, I think the longest one's 7 minutes. They're anywhere from three to five minutes. And it's a YouTube overlay. So as soon as you click it, it just loads up in-game the YouTube video of it.
That's pretty neat, because that was going to be my next question, is like, is it as impenetrable as the first game?
In terms of just like really hard to get into?
Like, yeah, like really hard to get to kind of grasp the basic functions of the game without having your team trash you constantly.
It's pretty in-depth. I only watched the first like three videos. And they mainly just explained stuff which I already knew, and they very much repeated a lot of the same things. But assuming you're not being a commander, you can get by just watching those first few videos and then just following somebody.
Right.
The biggest thing I noticed was communication is key, especially with voice comms. And they actually have an in-game voice setup. And if you have a commander, because for anybody who doesn't know what Natural Selection 1 and Natural Selection 2 was, it's a first-person shooter, but it has an RTS element to it where one person will play as a commander. And with our Natural Selection 2, it's the aliens and marines each have a commander. Basically, I picked this up now as a joke because I wanted to play a good aliens versus marines game, because there's not any good ones out right now that are new.
What are you talking about? There's aliens, colonial marines.
I said good
yeah.
one.
Actually, I heard the multiplayer is not terrible.
That game has been in development for so long, it can't be bad.
Yeah, it's not terrible, but I'm just going to play Left 4 Dead instead, because it's what it's based off.
The funny part about the multiplayer in that one is about it being, you know, pretty decent and the single player not, is from what I had heard, the multiplayer was actually the only part that Gearbox worked on.
Yeah.
They outsourced the entire single player campaign.
There's something I'm curious about with the Aliens Colonial Marines multiplayer versus Natural Selection 2, and that is talk about Guild Wars 2 no later but
we will shortly, don't worry.
Yeah, we will talk about Guild Wars 2 what little bit of news there are, but the starting alien unit can walk on walls and in the ceiling and whatnot. And yeah, actually that's what he's designed to do. If you're walking on the ground, it's a higher chance you have a shorter lifespan.
Yeah.
The aliens colonial marines one is like don't the aliens climb on the ceilings and whatnot too? Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna call them the dogs. I can't remember what their names are for Natural Selection, but that was very easy to start. Like, you just look at the wall and you start walking on it. You look at the ceiling, you start walking on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if the if it's that easy to get into for aliens.
With Natural Selection 2, when you're climbing on the walls and ceilings, does it adjust your camera so that kind of your camera is always directly behind your guy? So, like, if you're on the ceiling, is your camera upside down?
Well, first off, it's first person.
Right. I forgot about that. That's right. Okay.
And for people who don't know, when you're playing as the aliens, the camera is inside their mouth, and so you see their teeth on the top and bottom.
So is it like that game, that abstract indie game Duren played? What is it called? Proxy per...
I've not seen that game.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The game you're talking about, where you're like, the level design is really bad, and it was made by a one-man team. It was like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, you're talking about Antichamber?
Antichamber.
No, that's more of a puzzle game, and people aren't trying to kill you in that game.
Oh, God, where did Noob go? Noob? Are you there?
1 second. Sorry, okay. I accidentally closed that off.
Someone that's fine. My room.
No, but I mean, like, it's a good game, and I guess we can segue to Guild Wars by saying that it has a lot of the same vibes when you're playing World versus World as when you're playing Natural Selection 2. Communication is key. Definitely want to run in groups, and it does have like it does have RTS elements of like build this, hold this point. These are the choke points. There's no siege to speak of, but it was nice going into a shooter that was naturally team based. Like it's you very much want to work with other people, and if you have a commander that is not communicating or not good at just being a commander, you're probably gonna have a bad time. Whereas a good commander that's always talking, always pointing out, we need help here, we need help here, moving people around, you're going to have a more fun time. So anybody who's like an armchair general in World versus World that wants to try it, go for it. I'm happy to run around and shoot things, and you can tell me where to go.
So to quickly answer your question about the comparison to Colonial Marines, with the aliens in that one, basically, it's third person. And the reason I asked the camera question is because in Alien versus Predator, the last Alien game that had a multiplayer to it, when you were on the walls and ceilings, your camera followed your character, so you went sideways and upside down. Incredibly disorienting when you're playing as the Xenomorphs. So the way they've solved that in this one is your camera is always facing the same way.
They're putting you in the shoes of a Xenomorph.
Same with NS2.
So basically, with this one, your camera is always, you know, ground is always on the bottom. Ceiling is always on the top. Which makes it really, really easy then to quickly maneuver around walls and ceilings very easily. So yeah, they definitely solved that problem at least.
Yep. I guess the last thing is like the quick look for it is pretty good. They actually got the developers to sit down and talk about it. It's very much a good community game, which fits well with the Giant Bomb community. Just like it's worth looking into, at least with a quick look. I think it is a buy to play. I think it's like $20, but check it on Steam, wait till a holiday, maybe you can get it on sale.
Yeah.
But I think that's all we have for what we've been playing.
Guild Wars 2. Yeah.
Yeah. We can go into Guild Wars 2. That is what we've been playing.
So did you know Guild Wars 2 is an MMORPG developed by ArenaNet? The first was released in 2012, and it was a sequel to the Guild Wars 1, which had sequels. Guild Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. That's right from the wiki page. Right from the wiki page.
No, but there's been a little bit of news. We aren't going to go too in depth on it, but we're going to go with a little bit of news we can talk about basically on our speculations. The last Lincoln cast talking about guild missions and a few other things, and then finish it off with some shout outs and some listener questions, and then call it
some listener questions.
Well, a listener question.
The listener question.
Yes, we Cynic picked out before he. Had to leave for
abandoned us
before he ditched
abandoned
us.
Well, tell the truth.
Before he ditched us at the prom. Let's put it out there.
Yeah. He ditched us at the prom for money. So I can't fault him too much.
That whore.
But yeah, we have a listener question, but for news wise, there's a post from Colin Johansson as well as, probably mispronounce this, but Leia Rivera.
Sure.
Talking about the new guild missions. And we speculated last week or 2 weeks ago or whatnot. What did we talk about? We talked about instance based.
Yeah.
Summon like Claw Island using those resources. Did you read up on this at all, Duren? Or?
A little bit. I read through that post and watched the video when it was released.
Okay. Would you like to just tell the folks about it or?
Not if you have it up, because I did that when it was released, and I have slept
since. Okay, fine.
Otherwise, I can pull it up real quick.
They are going to be all open world, in terms of, like, it's all going to happen PvE zones. There was a bit of rumorisms about it only being on Claw Island, and yet some of the stuff we've seen from the videos and just the general description of them seems to say it's going to be in other zones. We don't have a full list of what zones it's going to be in or not in, but they're going to be a guild bounty, which you have to. There's going to be various targets that will spawn for the orders, Priory, Vigil, and Whispers, and your guild, as well as anybody else helping out, has to just track them down and fight them. And I guess it's going to be some sort of boss fight, like world zone fight, which should be fun. Mm-hmm. I have the sudden worry that just like you're doing your own thing off in the map, fighting by yourself,
shit to you.
And then suddenly this champion spawns right behind you and just stomps you.
Yeah,
and then you have this guild to thank for. It's like, geez, guys, go.
Reporting this guild, ruining my Guild Wars experience.
I imagine at least we get one or two people on the forums just hating about that. The other thing is Guild Trek, which I'm actually I'm pensively excited for.
Now, which one is that one?
It's where you have to, it's going to give you a list of locations that you guys have to run around and find on a map, I think. Mm. It's not too descriptive. It's the Tyrian Explorer Society is a challenge for you to find those locations before time runs out. I think you might be turned into an animal then, because there's a couple of videos where you are turned into, like, there's one where you're as chickens and one as wolves.
Okay.
So, yes?
Sure.
Is that the fable?
I believe that one is, like, cross-mapped. Like, it's not just
build houses.
That's not one where it takes place in one map. There's one that's
supposed to be cross-map, yeah. I'm not sure if that's Guild Trek or Guild Rush, but it's... I do like how they're trying their best to make what people had fun doing in Guild Wars 1, which was racing across the map, across the world.
Wait, what? Racing across
the Guild Rush,
though. It's not one of my fun memories.
I thought Guild Rush was the, like, jumping puzzle one, or is that, like, actually just called Guild Puzzle?
That is Guild Puzzle. That is straight up Guild Puzzle. And I'm pretty sure that is where we'll see... Josh Foreman's fabled I want to be the guy super hard puzzle.
Oh man.
Only because he said he has a whole team of people working on this puzzle. And it's the first time they've ever had a team working on a puzzle. It makes me think like this would fit the bill in terms of just like this giant freaking puzzle. It looked like there was a maze that was changing in there to add more confusion to it.
Oh my God.
If Foreman is behind that, I'm excited about it. See, did we cover Guild Challenge?
No.
These challenges leverage your existing event system, but are specifically geared to require multi-group coordinated play to succeed. So gather your guild and see if you're up to the challenge. That is not very descriptive at all. Way to go, Renet.
It sounds like it's dynamic event stuff that is focused towards like it's probably like we started off. And there will be like multiple dynamic events around the zone, and they all have to be dealt with.
Hoping is they use these as a way to improve the story, like to continue the story of the zone. But I think that like on the one side, I just want that because I want the story to continue for the zones. But with that model, I fear it might be it's a very finite lifespan of that story then, because people are just going to want to keep repeating that. Like, if A is where we started at release, and then B is this first step out of it, mm-hmm. they don't really want to add C because people want to keep doing B or... I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see about that next week when they give us the patch notes.
Yeah.
Regarding the guild missions, I hope, like, for the first few weeks, it's not like these areas are going to be, like, fucking laggy as hell because every single asshole and their guild is going to be running around Queensdale or something doing quests.
Well, I think that's part of the reason why that'll be alleviated somewhat with the sheer number of different types of things people can do. Like, sure, if everybody chose, Guild Race, and maybe there's only two or three zones that takes place in, or one or two, then yeah, that would probably lag things out quite a bit. But I mean, if you've got, what is it, like five or six different types of events?
Right.
Does that sound right?
Right now there's, five events, types of events.
So five different types of events. I imagine each event is doable in multiple zones. So
yeah, like that's are they doing all zones or only certain zones allow for certain event types? And then when you go to research it, are you researching the Queensdale Guild Bounty or are you just researching general Guild Bounty?
Yeah,
these are things that I think about, and I'm not if they gave us more news about it, we'd be excited. But they like to tease stuff as Arena is known to do.
Right.
One other thing, I guess, after Guild Challenge is Guild Rush. Test your skills with a mad dash over herring, terrain, traps, and other hidden dangers. That, I think, is going to be the Guild Race. And I think that is going to be the one that spans across zones. Like, you'll probably get into some, like, form, like a wolf or something, and that's going to involve the jumping and all that.
Yeah. That one actually sounds like probably the most interesting one to me.
Yeah. It really, like, that. If they put a lot of care into that one, I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then all these will get you, okay, first off, all these are unlocked through the upgrade system, and they've actually said on the forums, Anthony Orton, one of the game designers, said that the first upgrade that will be available, you use your influence in the upgrade system, is guild bounties, and it's through the Art of War level 5 upgrade, which has a lot of people very mad. Because let's say it's a small-time PvE guild who doesn't want to do anything with structured PvP or world versus world.
Yeah.
Then they find this really cool PvE thing that you do in PvE zones is at the final tier of a bunch of upgrades that are all world versus world and structured PvP.
Yeah. I mean, I could see that, but I feel like even a small guild that has been around for more than, you know, a month or two potentially could, I mean, they could have had those unlocked by now, right? I mean, I'm hearing of guilds that have like nearly a million or over a million influence points just banked after everything's been upgraded.
And then, so, like, we are constantly using up upgrades, and we usually stay at 60K.
Yeah. But so I feel like even a small guild, like, especially given the advance notice that we have now, you know, go ahead and start dropping your points into Art of War now if you need to and get yourself there. Like, I don't think it's really going to be a big issue. Really,
this isn't really an advance notice because people, like, you have to be crazy to, like me, to go through the forums looking for news to find this.
Well, that's true.
Or listen to a podcast where somebody goes to the news listening for crazy stuff. But it's just like, it'd be nicer if they were a bit more like, hey, we're introducing this and this is what you need to do to prepare for it. People expected Politics 5 or something. And it's like, no, it's Art of War. So that has some people burn the wrong way. Eventually, it'll smooth itself out.
Yeah.
But yeah, expect a lot of guild bounties on the opening weekend to be going on.
That is weird that they are unlocking the system with a single type, because that is going to kind of go back to Noob's issue of like places being very, very crowded, because initially everybody has to do the same one. I was under the assumption that they were all unlocked from the beginning. Like, once you unlocked it, you unlocked all of them. And you could choose where you wanted to go first. But yeah, I mean, if that's the case, especially if they are locked to like certain zones, that could potentially be an issue.
Well, and he just said the first one is guild bounties, which requires Art of War level 5. Like, maybe, I don't know if they're releasing them to us at a staggering rate, or if it's just after guild bounties, the next upgrade is guild trek and guild challenge. If we get all of them on day one, and just the first one you reach is bounties, I don't know. But yeah, it is controversial, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's not going to be an issue, obviously, later on, but just that initial rush of everybody doing it day one, we could potentially see, like, you know, launch day levels of lag in zones again for at least a short while.
Well, and then the other side of this coin is, even if your guild is not the one doing this, you can still participate and get the reward for it, which is you get XP, coin,
less,
all that.
Right?
Yeah, but yeah, you do get less, and it's guild merits, so they've added another currency to the game, which I could care less about, but like, Durin, I know you've had some kerfuffles about it.
Not necessarily so much like with this one, though. I do still feel like instead of adding this whole new currency, I really do feel like they could have folded it into influence.
It'd be nice if they start currency exchange. That way there's more motivation for people to earn this and not give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, like I said before, when I brought it up the last time, like, it's more so a worry if they continue down this road, as opposed to thinking of like creative ways to incorporate new stuff into their current currency systems.
Right.
And on that same subject of releasing stuff in the currency systems, how last week we talked about maybe them adding more of the like, with these guild merits you can buy the guild shield or the guild, not greatsword, chest piece or something, like the guild armor, and then maybe just cosmetic stuff. They've come up with a few other ideas for things you could spend the guild merits on, and that is reduced waypoint costs, which seems kind of crazy for me, which it's almost going to be like it's a standard for guilds to spend that on. The guild missions themselves can be repurchased with the merits, and a combo banner, which I think I remember them saying is just you can turn yourself into a banner of your guild your guild banner. And the example they gave was after taking a point in World versus World, you stand on the walls and make a banner of yourself to show everyone how awesome you are.
That's pretty fucking narcissistic.
Okay. That's a little narcissistic. I don't know. Well, plus everyone.
It's only narcissistic if it's a guy with a commander tag and then he turns himself into a banner.
Yeah, I will not be doing that. And the last one, which I'm still a little PO'd about, but a gold find bonus. And I mean, like, this gold find I'm less angry about, but still, it's like it's to get better at this game, you have to do these events. Gold find, I'm in this aspect of it, I'm okay, but getting gear that is a gold find bonus, it just seems more towards a gear grind and less like a skill grind.
But like, picking up gold isn't really the best way to earn money, isn't it?
I am not a economist, and I'm sure there's lots of people who are like, well, picking up gold is a surefire way to get more money.
But at that point, like, wouldn't magic find be better because you have a better chance of getting, you know, blues and greens and selling that stuff? Like, that would be a way better way of making money than picking up gold.
Yes and no. The other thing that we can talk about with the news is they finally accepted the fact that there was an issue with the loot tables, in that, people since launch have been saying that, whenever they would kill a champion or any big tough boss, world boss, what have you, depending on how they contributed, didn't necessarily equate to the amount of stuff they were supposed to get, like the right loot table. Mm-hmm. And Arena kept coming back saying loot tables are all correct. They're all correct. We've checked them again and again. It turns out the system used to check how your participation level is compared to the amount of loot table you get was not working. Or something to that effect.
Yeah.
And so that is also going to get fixed. Maybe Magic Find will be coming back, a resurgence in that, now that when you kill a champion, you are actually going to get a blue or better item. Mm-hmm. Whereas before, I've killed champions and gotten nothing.
Yeah.
Take it back. I got a glob of globby goo.
Oh, well, I mean, you got something,
that's,
man.
Yeah.
That's money in the bank.
Moving on up to the east side.
All right.
That's money in the bank.
I don't think I've ever had one of those before.
Run Ascalon Catacombs. You'll get a lot of it.
What's Ascalon
Catacombs? Ascalon Catacombs. It's the level 30 to 35 dungeon in the Char Zones, which if you want to see it before they change it, you should check it out before this week.
Because
Colin tweeted that during a lunch interview or something, Colin, they asked him a bunch of questions and people posted them all up on Twitter, but Colin said that all the bosses in Ascalon Catacombs have been completely rebuilt for the February release, along with some of the open world champions too.
Right. Hmm.
Very much, especially when they say all the bosses in AC. So
yeah, exactly.
Kohler is going to get a change, which I love Kohler. He's my example of this is a skill fight. But then also the story bosses. Do you think they're going to change those around?
No.
I don't think so. I think it's probably going to be just explorable.
It's not like people are running story.
There's definitely a few explorable ones that need fixing. Pretty much all the final bosses.
Right.
Only because the Howling King and Colossus Rumblus are effectively the exact same fight. And then the Ghost Eater is just a joke of a fight. No one even... The turrets are terror bad. I'm curious to see how they're going to change that around while still keeping the same level in place.
And maybe, I'm assuming they're just trying to shake things up.
Maybe. I mean, like they said, they wanted to revamp all the dungeons, and so we are seeing this is the first step of it. Well, actually, the second step. The first step was getting rid of the waypoints. And have you guys done any dungeons since then? And have you noticed a change in quality, I guess, of the dungeon group. I
can't say I've done dungeons.
You've been playing a lot, though. You need to do dungeons.
But, like, I'm a lone wolf, and I like wolf lonely.
Yeah.
But the protagonist needs his side characters.
So are you saying,
I'm
like,
playing on the main character, not the protagonist. Oh,
yeah. So are you asking, like, if we've done some since they made the change to the waypointing? Oh, yeah, yeah. And, I mean, they were fine.
They
rebalanced them properly so that, you know, corpse running didn't need to be a strategy where it was a strategy. Yeah.
So after that initial change, like, assuming this is from the same team that is the PvE dungeon team, what are your thoughts on the AC reboot? Are you excited? Are there any bosses you'd like to see changed in a specific way?
Well, I mean, like you said, there's those two in AC that are basically the same fight. So I would definitely like to see one of them changed. The fight makes a lot more sense for Colossus Rumblus because of the big open area. You have a lot of area to move around, whereas I'm forgetting his name, the king guy.
You don't Kohler?
Have
a, are you talking about the explorable end boss or the story end boss?
I'm sorry.
Adelburn is the story end boss.
Right.
The one thing I could say change about that is just you're having to see blue fire on top of blue mist for his end fight, and that's just that's a tough tell for people.
Yeah. Okay, on that subject, so is it just me, or does it seem like sometimes the red circles, they need to make those a little thicker, right?
Yeah,
those
they
can
are.
Be, at times, nice. Be really it, hard to see.
It would be nice if there, in the interface options or something, there was a scale you could change to make the circle bolder.
Yeah.
Right.
There are times where it just maybe it's the color of the ground there or the angle I'm looking at it. But there are times where I just straight up like would miss it if I wasn't.
It's
really
like a yarn
it.
Of
yeah.
string.
Yeah.
Something I just thought about, but those are red circles on top of a brown, very often like a brown floor,
mm-hmm.
Right. Especially with AC.
Yeah.
For a lot of people who are colorblind, I know a few of them. That's effectively brown on brown.
Yeah.
Right.
Because the red spectrum for some colorblind folks just doesn't show up, and so that's got to be even worse for them.
Yeah, so I mean, maybe setting in there to change the color, like a setting like ideally a setting in there to change the color and thickness would be the best.
Right.
Yeah.
That'll never happen, but at least the color change most likely will never happen. They would.
I don't know.
They would be more likely to implement a colorblind.
What are you talking about, Duren? This is the biggest podcast that developers listen to from ArenaNet.
Next week when I go to Seattle, I say I'm going to a comic convention. I'm secretly going to the ArenaNet offices, just kicking the door open and being like, "Yo, fix these things."
And then they're going to be like, "Oh my god, it's the guy from the Linkcast. Can we get your autograph? We love your podcasts."
And it's like, "Wait, you're not Noob."
Yeah.
And then it turns out he pulled off the mask, and it was Noob the whole time.
And it was pull off the mask against Ryan Davis's creepy face.
Thurb's part is already pre-recorded, and it's just me doing Thurb's voice. Thurb has died for a long time. He's dead.
God, the creepy face.
I love it. I love that face.
Sorry for people listening to the audio, but we are finally doing a live show.
It's going to be an audio version like we always do. I totally forgot about that.
All right.
We are now streaming, and with the lack of Cynic being our fourth member or anybody being a fourth member, we are replacing it with a creepy face of Ryan Davis and or Jeff Gerstmann.
Right.
So to tune in next time we do this, which I don't know if we will. But yeah, I guess other people, things.
Maybe when Cynic shows up and doesn't abandon us.
The modifications to the Commander book are coming, according to Colin Johansson, with more features. But they will remain character bound. This is something I guess we can speculate about.
Yeah, like I'm guessing a lot of people are guessing that like you'd be able to finally place the like map points that you were kind of always supposed to be able to place.
Yeah, I can see it as something like that, as well as making it so it's like artillery here or like support this point. Really, I think what they just need to do is make it so it's a supersized party group. So you can see everyone on the mini map. There's a special, like, it changes the nameplate to a different color. And I think that is probably the best option. The grievances I had last or 2 weeks ago or whatever, that would be a big step for World versus World, like people enjoying it.
I feel like the like being able to see everybody kind of in the I forget what they call the group now.
Squad.
The squad. That should go for everybody. That didn't, that shouldn't even just be Commander. Like that should be something everybody should be able to turn on.
Right.
Like, it is ridiculous well, that I could be a part of the squad and I have no idea who's in the squad.
Yeah. Well, no, no, I mean that. I mean, like, everybody should be able to see everybody because...
Okay, I thought you were saying it as, like, one of the commander things.
If I just join in and I see a commander icon, I don't know if that guy's by himself or has a ton of people or if he's a dead body that right. is just, like, refused to waypoint back. And so if yeah. I join the squad, I can see, oh, there's 20 people over there and there's three people right next to me that are on the way over there. I should join up with them.
Right.
But it's yeah, I'd like to see that happen. I doubt it's going to happen. I think yeah. you're right. It's probably just going to be, hey, let's put some artillery here.
Like one nice thing that would, I mean, at least if they would do this, it would I think help a lot with Commander specifically. Obviously, you know, being the Commander thing is instead of maybe like or maybe on top of being able to place things on the map, like you know, to do things here or go here or whatever the case may be, would be to allow you to like kind of in the world. Put like a kind of a beacon, like you know, like you're saying, like put artillery here. But rather than have people having to look on the map, have it just be a big ass beacon of light with an artillery symbol on it, saying like basically notifying everyone.
Yeah,
as, you know, the commander wants a beacon or wants an artillery there, so whoever's nearby right. will place one. Like that would be which, the best. Having
played Natural Selection 2, that is really well integrated with the game.
Yeah,
like not only on the mini map, but it like arrows show up and it shows up on the map. It's very very well done. Check the game out; it's good. It's pretty good. Another big thing, orange swords won't show up if there are less than about 25 people after February's update.
So I want to ask you about exact numbers. Because I know you tend to like to run the little hit squads, and the problem with your hit squads is like every time you like begin to attack something, the swords show up and you're immediately stopped.
Right.
So this kind of seems like it might allow you to finally do that properly, right?
This allows with a bit more flexibility with the group, but we're still going to run with the same issues. What it was before was we would kill the guards and we get orange swords very quickly, but that would stop. Like then we just wouldn't attack anything. And yes, we're attacking a supersized point that has cannons and oil and everything. But if all 20 people are just trying their best to stop everybody from coming in and you have three people working rams or something – yes, you aren't taking down the cannons and the oil, but I mean, like, if you stop everyone from coming in, you should be okay. Now you can have people taking on the like. I think this is a good thing because it can help with that initial like 2 minutes. There won't be much of a response unless people are watching because it'll stop the orange swords, but you'll still get the little X on top of the actual point saying this point is under contention. And if you attack a keep or a castle that has a waypoint. Mm-hmm. It will block the waypoint from being active. So people immediately know, I can't waypoint there. There's people attacking there. I should check that out.
I mean, sure, if people are paying attention. But, I mean, let's be real here. Most people load into WoWlove, look for the commander icon and or cross swords, and that's where they head.
Yeah, most people – yeah, that is correct. But I've noticed, like, if you attack a keep that has a waypoint,
yeah,
you're going to get a response even if you're being sneaky. Just because you aren't drawing swords, they notice –
yeah, but I'm talking about like you're talking about attacking a keep though. Like when you run your hit squads, you don't tend to attack keeps. You tend to be hitting like the towers and the supply area. Like those are what you tend to hit, right?
I hit keeps, but not with the intention of sieging them. I will often just take down two doors and disappear, and then they repair it, and then there goes half their supply and key endpoint.
I see.
And then I do it again, and then they have no supply, and then I'm like. Hey, you actual genius. Commander, you attack this place. I'm going to keep it in towers. But yeah, I haven't been doing that as much lately. I've actually been doing the dailies. Crazy, I know.
I thought you quit doing dailies forever.
I like having money. It's like I can do the dailies and sell
the coins.
Mystic coins for a little bit of money. I'm back up to like 40 gold, so I'm happy. But yeah, I think this is going to be a good thing. It's a good step. But it's definitely a step towards the end goal. This isn't a fix.
Yeah,
but definitely. It's nice to see.
Right.
Let's see. Guild missions, second place in Talisman Cove. We already covered that. There will be other legendaries in the future, but priority is resolving the way to get precursors, including the scavenger hunt. Which, the scavenger hunt, anybody doesn't know, is they're trying to find a really long way. I guess the best example was Ocarina of Time's the Goron sword, just traveling across the world back and forth. Cynic always liked making his example of making a sacrifice on at the right time in, when the moon was full on top of the priestess of Dwayne's altar. Sort of like that was a step in the process.
Right.
But it's they've said that that's not going to happen for a while. And so announcing, yeah, there's going to be other legendaries. That sounds like it's going to be other legendaries when an expansion's about to hit.
Yeah. If the scavenger hunt isn't for a while and the legendaries are further off than that, we're probably looking at like next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's nice to know, yes, it's a possibility. Thank you, Colin, but
now do you think it's going to be like more legendary weapons, or do you think they're going to go ahead and move on to legendary armor at this point?
He said of combinations, not weapons.
Okay.
So that, yeah. Probably like we were thinking of whole armor sets.
Okay. Yeah, and that's good to at least get that confirmation that it sounds like it will be whole armor sets as opposed
to... Well, he said possibility.
Well, about as much of confirmation as we can get from Colin Johansson.
Yeah. As is very telling with ArenaNet, very few things are set in stone.
Was he grinning while he said it?
I'm sure he was. He was grinning with that
sardonic he somehow has taught himself to grin while eating his food.
Yeah. It's a very sardonic smile full of evil intentions.
Then I guess one last bit of news. Anybody who's ever like not necessarily played the Trading Post, but even looked in there for like gear to get, has been very annoyed with the fact that you can't preview stuff. You'd have to buy it, preview it then, and then sell it if you don't like the preview of it. Preview is now coming to the Trading Post.
Thank fucking God. It was I don't understand. Like that's one of those things that you just don't launch an MMO without.
It's a very good idea. You should do it.
Especially given that we have items on the auction house like that are non precursors, non legendaries, that are still going for hundreds of gold.
Yeah, like, I think this will be a big step towards people who are maybe not trying to get a legendary, but just trying to get a good look post 80. Maybe with the end goal of getting a legendary item, they can look through they can just spend like, oh, I'll spend an hour going through the Trading Post looking at exotic swords, playing
dress up.
Yeah.
Now, do we know yet if like all particle effects will show up finally in preview, or is that still off?
I believe how the Trading Post preview is going to be is there will be a sheathed like option. A combat red, like combat attacking option.
Oh, wow.
And a unsheathed but standing still option.
So that's at least going further than I would have expected.
Yeah. Well, it's.
Which is a surprise. Well, I guess since they're working on it, they'll take it a step further.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't find my source for that, but I think that's like that is. If that's the case, that's pretty well polished, and that is super acceptable in my book.
I'm not sure it makes up for the fact that this wasn't at launch, but.
Or at least
it's nice to see they at least put that extra effort into it then.
Yep.
It's like they have all the big stuff, but they're missing all the small stuff.
Well, they don't have all the big stuff. We still don't have a looking for group tool.
Yeah, there's no looking for group tool.
Well, at least there's guild halls.
No guild halls.
No guild halls.
No player housing. I mean,
well, player housing I couldn't give a shit about, but a game called Guild Wars. Yes, I fucking know. It has nothing to do with guilds, but
I'm okay with not having guild halls yet so long as there is a last online feature, because pre-show we were talking about like some of our Australian buddies who play in the guild, and I'm like, man, I haven't seen those guys in months. I wonder
what they must have quit Guild Wars a long time ago.
And Noob's like, no, they're on just really early in the morning.
I get up at 6:30 to check what's going on in Guild Wars, everyone's like, oh god, it's Noob Arama. I didn't know he played this game.
And which is funny, because that's pretty much the reaction you get every time you log into the game.
Right.
But yeah, that would be a very awesome tool for just people to know, okay, these are really inactive people. I should move these to just like a second guild or something. Yeah. It's something that, as Durin has been saying the whole time, these are features that need to be in an MMO in this day and age.
Yeah.
Sleepy's like ArenaNet.
You don't launch your MMO without real basic features.
It's like living in the 1800s, and like there are people on the other side of the world. You don't know whether they're alive or not, and that's basically what's going on in Guild Wars. Like, people in your guild, do they play this game? Who the fuck knows? We don't know.
So yeah, I mean, Durham, was there any other news that you dug up that I want to talk about, or?
No, I think that pretty much is about all we really had. It's been kind of a slower week. I mean, it's, you know, the week leading up to this big patch, right. And also, like, you know, kind of rounding out the month, which means we should, I imagine, shortly after that patch hits, we'll hear about what's coming up in March.
Yeah, right. The big patch is going to be coming is next week. It has to be, because that's the end of February, and they keep referring to it as the February update. So that's when we're going to probably get a February, like the patch notes and stuff in physical. These are the actual things that are changing. And so next week's podcast will probably be a bit more in depth, and we can go, like, hopefully by that time we'll have been able to do a couple of these guild missions and talk about them.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a completely original idea that I didn't get from chat from a person named Enty Fool. Let's talk about how February won't have any major story stuff.
Well, and like the
well, basically, I think they mean like the Fire and Frost stuff, like, is moving at a very slow pace, and
super slow pace.
February, basically, like I said, like, this is kind of the first month where we haven't seen any story stuff at all,
right?
I mean, we won't. It sounds like until probably next month, then, and that's right.
It sort of was like the beginning of January was the prelude, and so we've had all of January and all of February as the prelude. And starting March, because at the end of February is when they kick off the storm, right?
Yeah, it sounds like it, yeah. Well, and it wouldn't be so bad if there was at least something to the prelude, but, I mean, there's not. There's...
No.
There are some refugees walking in. I can nail some signs with my daggers.
It's not even real. Like, only now have there been refugees walking. Before, it was just dead bodies.
Yeah.
And so, you want to be a volunteer? You loot these dead bodies. And put up these signs, and then you start seeing refugees walking. And they've added a few events as well, which actually I'm glad they've used the there is a geyser pickup rock put on top of geyser technology that was developed during the Karka event to be events like these. But it's been a very slow burn for this, and they've been building this up for a long time, and I think just a lot of people are getting burnt out about the way ArenaNet builds stuff up and then just waits forever to release it.
Yeah. And especially, like, especially given, like, they were, you know, they released phase one or whatever, and then the phase two, which was basically refugees walking. And then after that, like, came out and, like, yeah, this is going to be a year-long story thing we're doing. And, like, I saw that, and I'm just like,
this is going to be like a four-month thing.
I officially don't care about this anymore, because if this is going to be a year long and this is the pace you're moving at, I'll see you guys in 4 months.
Yeah.
Because then things might have changed a little bit.
Which I have to wonder if that might just be the best thing for everybody, is just to put this game down for, like...
Well, no, I'm not even saying put it down for...
I keep playing this game.
No. I'm not even saying, like, put the game down. I'm just saying, like, I will care about Fire and Frost, or Flame and Frost, or whatever. You know, in 4 months when things have changed, because I think it's going to take a good amount of time before we really start seeing some significant changes to it.
Well, I mean, they are spreading it throughout the year, and we haven't even scratched March yet, I guess. So it's not unexpected for us to
not see much
content.
I need to clear my name here, because Noob says I was having fun playing Alien Colonial Marines. For the record, I would not. I don't think I would pay. I don't think I would allow somebody to pay me to play that game.
Are you sure?
What if they gifted you the game?
Pay you.
Yeah.
$1 million.
$1 million.
I can't speak to Thurb's Japanese porn games.
Wow. You're so creepy sometimes. You're as creepy as Ryan Davis's creepy pictures. But yeah, it's. As much as I like the idea of the living story, it still has to flesh itself out. So I'm waiting.
Yeah, and I mean, literally, that's everybody's waiting, because
we've
seen all, you know, 5 minutes there is to experience of the living story right now. It's not.
It is
not very lively.
It's in a coma. Let's just say it's on life support at best.
But yeah, I think that's the end of the news. There was one last thing we can go talk about, and that's there were a few shout-outs Cynic told me to give people props for. First off of which was Hawks, who is actually in the chat right now. So just thank you for listening, sir. And Sky Child, I'm pretty sure from the forums, but way to go, sir. And a Jeff LaRue, who I'm think it was actually a new addition to the guild, which I'll say again at the end of the podcast for the plugs, but you can get to the forum page by going to tinyurl.com/thelincolncast. Rather than explain
that's
the process
very tiny, account. Let's be honest.
Yeah, it's just like that. That'll get you to it. But Skychild actually had a question for us, and I guess I'll start off so while Noob and Durin can compose themselves. But he wanted us to talk about our builds. And I have a couple different builds, but they're all pretty much world versus world geared. Because as bad as I talk about it, that's where I spend most of my time, and it works pretty well in dungeons. And they're all pretty much just like be tough, do a little bit of damage, but mainly just harass people. Going down from like my Mesmer is, I think he's just only toughness and vitality, whatever like the whatever those points are, and he's got things that are like use the focus to reflect. Because I usually run around with my greatsword and my like just sword focus, just because the greatsword's got a good slow and a good push, so I can just knock people off walls. Or another thing I'll often do is I'll be running with the focus, pull them with the wall, or if we're having a counterattack, I'll use that as a speed boost and then keep it up to reflect people. But yeah, I'll pull them, blink past them, and then just push them with the greatsword. And usually into the maws of the Zergs that's following me to just get a good kill down.
That's significantly more complex than how I fight, which is like I press 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
You do the then I press thing. You swing a sword. You swing a sword.
Yeah.
You also
and
play a guardian.
Sometimes
don't you?
I'm like, oh wait, my character can use two weapons, so I press the tilde key, and then I'm like, I'll change this up and like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I love how Durin always keeps forgetting he can weapon swap.
I do. Like I play my Ellie pretty much almost all the time, but occasionally I'll hop over to like my warrior or my thief or something. And like, not only do I forget that I can weapon swap, but I just recently learned that you can weapon swap underwater.
which
this is what you get when you play an Ellie as a main since launch.
Having right. played like an Ellie recently and having played like a Mesmer and a Warrior most of the time, I will actually micro weapon swap with the Elementalist, where I'll just like I'll quickly hit H to bring up the weapon panel, like put a staff on, do the speed boost, switch back.
Well, yeah, I mean I'll do that when we're like
the gear on my main character named the protagonist, so not the main character. It's a full rare armor set still. It's just the visual armor because it looked nice, and I just am too lazy to transmongrify it into different armor. I bought a shield, Jorah Shield, because it was named Jorah Shield. That's from the original Guild Wars. It looks fucking ugly, but it has a name called Jorah Shield.
Pretty cool.
So, yeah. Pretty cool. It's orange, so I think it's special.
Yeah. It's my gear still like toughness and vitality for my Mesmer, just because I'm sure there's a better build for what I'm trying to do, but. As a person with the commander icon, you want to be the last one to die if you can. So anything to help contribute to that. Yeah. I'm not trying to kill people. I'm trying to stay alive.
See, mine's pretty much all power, toughness, vitality for the most part. Aside from my jewelry is all power, precision, crit. But I mean, as an Ellie who, you know, will die if you look at me wrong, I kind of need the toughness and vitality, as I've learned over the course of this game. To really even stay alive, especially given that I play Dagger, though not specifically for PvP, which seems like that's when you hear an Ellie playing Dagger, you just assume like that's their PvP Ellie, because that's like that's pretty much the build to play in PvP is, you know, a bunker.
That's much more survivable than running around with the staff.
Yeah, but. I even enjoy it in PvE, and for the most part, with the exception of a few fights here and there, you know, namely things like Lupicus, I do well with dagger. Like I said, there's a couple exceptions where I got to switch to a staff because melee is just not really viable there. But I'm pleased with how well I've been able to adapt it to a PvE. It is still basically a bunker build, but it's like I said, when you're playing a dagger as an LE in PvE, that's kind of necessary because otherwise you will die incredibly quickly.
Mm-hmm. See, having played a guardian and putting all of my bones into toughness and vitality, and then suddenly playing a thief, and then trying to use my innovative get to their face, and then press 1 2 3 4 5 5 4 3 2 1, doesn't work as a thief. Keep me alive for very long.
No, it doesn't. Especially as a thief.
Dodging mechanics and healing.
And thief has like stealth and like stealth.
Exactly.
Some of the thief builds of just like, I'm just going to stay stealth forever. There was actually, I remember running around in World vs. World last week. I got to the castle and we had actually gotten both the reinforced walls and the reinforced doors on the castle. And then I noticed that there was a person who was a thief who was running around in the courtyard the whole time, just staying perma-stealthed. People have been trying to kill him for like 45 minutes. Which I thought was hilarious. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, that's funny. But Arena, you probably need to fix that. But yeah, that's my Mesmer. I don't play him as much now because I'm working. It's when I found out that even if I got the Sunrise for my Mesmer, whenever I was using it to attack, the effects of the Sunrise would be canceled out to the effects of the Mesmer, just because with the Greatsword, this like pink purplish glow happens. Well, I guess as much as I love you, I have to set you aside and start playing a warrior.
That's really dumb.
Yeah, it's pretty dumb. right now I'm testing out just a pretty good Wuv build by a guy named Parmesan Stick. You see him every now and then on the Guild Wars 2 Reddit thread, which whenever he uploads just him running around in Wuv killing things, like basically like any PvP video would, he does it with just like almost Hawaiian style ukulele music, which I think is great because most PvP videos are like rage screaming music.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, I don't mind watching this because this is enjoyable.
Like, it's like rage screaming or Nickelback.
Yeah.
This is how I remind you.
And then my elementalist, which is still not 80, but I'm slowly getting her there, is pretty much, it's very similar to Wooden Potatoes condition build, which I was testing out long before he made a post about that. But it's effectively just running, instead of vitality, you have toughness and condition damage. And then you just run Scepter, Dagger, and are running around mostly in fire or earth. With like you swap to electric to like you do the 1 2 3, move really fast, knock them back, and then switch back to something else.
Oh, is that like a derivation of my 1 2 3 4 5 5 2 5 4 3 2 1 kind of build?
Or sort of, except 1 2 3 is all.
It's in like 1 2 3 5, and then you swap over.
Yeah, 2 2 2 3 5 are all instant things that you mash all three of those at the same time, and then just quickly switch back.
Wait. Oh no, that just seems like a shitty copy ripoff.
That's right. You're thinking, I was thinking dagger. I'm like, two isn't instant on dagger. Never mind.
No, on
Scepter. As far as I'm concerned, Ellie's can only wield daggers. That's just what it comes down to.
I really like that this game has a workable way for an elementalist to be really up close in your face. I think that's a great concept. As much as I don't like bunker builds and how hard it is to beat them down as a warrior, or at least as just the warrior I'm playing, I really like that idea of them.
That's okay. Just play your Mesmer because I'm fucking shit at killing a Mesmer.
Yeah, my Mesmer just survives. And if you keep fighting me, I will eventually wear you down.
See, that's the thing. I won't. If I see a Mesmer, I'll turn the other direction. It won't happen.
Coward.
Oh, coward. I just play the numbers.
I will make my way to a tower and hide.
I know there is no chance in hell I can ever 1v1 a Mesmer. They are able to burst me down so quickly.
It's because there's many Mesmers?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
It's So it's not Beryllium on Duke.
I think it's more of like a combination of, you know, Mesmer's being really good at dodging around, or, you know, swapping places with their clones and stuff, and then unless I time a dodge perfectly, if they explode their clones on me, no amount of toughness on an Ellie is going to survive that.
Again, I've been saying this since I started playing WoW, but I really hate hunter pets.
Yes.
Ranger pets in this case.
Yeah, Ranger is the only class I don't have, and I don't plan on making one.
Actually, really? Yeah. What do you guys think of this as a concept? And I'm sure Rangers will just complain out the ass about it, but the further away you are from your pet, the more of a, like, the lower your damage is.
The problem with that is that, I mean, negates kind of the bonuses of using a bow.
Pets.
No.
Like, if you're a greatsword ranger, sure. But if you are a bow ranger, like, you're not getting, I mean, that's counterintuitive to the playstyle of that weapon.
Right. Maybe weakening the pet, but not
then what's ranger. The point of the pet, then, if you're going to be that far away doing damage for it to me?
Well,
I think what they could do instead, what they could do instead would maybe be to change pets so that they are more of a utility as opposed to a damage dealer.
Yeah.
How about they just get turned into mini pets instead? It's problem solved.
That's just, yeah, like it's a polymorph of the animal, so it's just you turn them into like a little chibi version of. I like it. Yeah. It's pretty good.
It's just Japanese terminology, you fucking weeaboo.
It just seems like, hey, I'm just like, it's this auto attack ability. You just target them and you just send the pet after them. And when the pets die, you just swap to the next pet.
See, in the
having not played a Ranger, that's what it feels like, and it'd be awesome if someone who did play Ranger.
What they did in the original Guild Wars is if your pet died, all of your skills were put on cooldown.
Yeah, that was a bit too far, I feel.
But to be fair, you had the option of not bringing a pet, and most Rangers didn't.
Yeah, most Rangers just didn't have a pet. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. It seems a bit too far on the scale.
See, that's the thing. Like, other MMOs that have had like a Ranger-style class that doesn't have a pet, I've loved them. Like, I think it's a great concept for a class. Just like this idea of like a physical damage based ranged class, but then they always just fucking ruin it by making you have the dumbass pet around.
What I really would like to see, and I don't expect Guild Wars to do this, maybe another MMO in the future, but I really liked in Warcraft 3, which to anybody who doesn't know, before WoW, there was a strategy game made by Blizzard called Warcraft 3. But in one of their expansions.
Is that a prequel to World of Warcraft?
Yeah, sort of.
I've never heard of the MMO.
I don't know. But there was a guy called a Beastmaster who was very much like a ranger, except he was all melee and his pets stayed next to you. And like it's D&D would do something like this too in pen and paper, but you could keep your pet next to you and you use him as a positioning thing. And so you'd like attack from both sides with you and your pet. I'd like to see a game take that into effect of a 2-3 man Zerg instead of a person with a bow. I don't know. I think that's it. Do we just want to go to plugs?
There's one question.
Yeah, somebody in chat had a question.
All right, then.
What class would each of us create as an addition to Guild Wars 2?
That class that I just talked about.
The Gimp Ranger class? You would
the Beastmaster. The Beastmaster class. Melee-based pet class.
That's just like double axes in your face, almost Viking kind of thing, a hybrid between warriors and rangers.
That could be interesting. I think, didn't Warhammer have a class like that?
Sure.
Or was theirs ranged as well?
I don't know, it's just like, it's just this really beefy thing that's just like, if they have a pseudo shared health pool, but like when one dies, like if you lose your pet, the actual, like the humanoid that character goes into a berserker thing. That's almost like the human vengeance when he's in the down state. It's just if you kill the pet, like you're both dead, but the guy's in just like in a rage that just
maybe
8 seconds and super crit.
Maybe instead of doing that, like as a maybe fix for the Rangers, they could do something like if the pet dies, the main the pet's owner gets a fairly severe debuff for a period of time.
Actually, I'd like to see it the other way, where the pets have almost no health, and there's a time to spawn, like to change out to a new one. Like, let's say there's like 30 seconds or something. But when you kill it, the ranger goes into like the, no, no, you killed my pet, and gets like 15% crit chance for the next 15 seconds. Mm. And so it's not a question of
the ranger's benefit.
It's a question of if it's to the attacker's benefit to kill this thing or to just deal with the damage for the next few, like for the fight. I think
like it's a weirdo ranger builds of like who can kill my pet the fastest.
Me, well, I mean, apparently. Like, it's, do you want to kill the pet? Are you going to deal with 15 seconds of super crit?
Well, I should probably point out like the complaints I'm leveraging against rangers. This is as somebody who has played 3 levels of a ranger.
Yeah, so, I have not played much of ranger. I've just had to deal with them fighting me. So
probably better.
I just play 1,000 hours of ranger in the original.
So there's probably better ways of handling it than what I'm saying. I'm just kind of spitballing here.
Yeah, Durin, what type of profession would you like to see out of the game, expansion or otherwise?
I would say some sort of a monk class, something that is more of like a unarmed combat based that possibly uses some sort of a magic. No, no panda form.
Monks?
No panda form, but I will say that was kind of one really interesting thing when WoW did that, because, again, monk is something as a class that I've always found really interesting, so I would definitely like to see something like that in Guild Wars 2. So, like I said, something that's unarmed or like, you know, small weapon based in your face, but is also has a magical aspect to it. Basically, I want Dagger Ellie. God damn it. So apparently Guild Wars 2 is fine. That's what I'm coming out of this with.
Noob.
I want a character based on my favorite anime girl, Manaka-chan from Love Plus. She's the manager for the high school's tennis club.
Okay, and thank then her you very much.
No.
The manager, the trading post profession, right?
No, she brooms the tennis courts. No.
What?
So I want to bring back the
What does that mean?
I don't know. I want to bring back the ritualist from the original Guild Wars, which was based around really cool things like summoning spirits. These spirits are immobile and chained to the ground. Some provide like healing bonuses, cause blindness, can steal health, can steal mana, etc. It was like a really interesting class to play, and it was extremely unique compared to really anything I've seen in video games in general. And something like that, I think, would fit well with a game with unique classes.
Like it Guild seems Wars like a hybrid of necromancers and engineers, and I think
yes, it is like necromancers. And
I don't know. I think it'd just be like the best case would be just be to take as many of those elements and just further uniquify the engineers and necromancers. But
but they have their distinctive style and skimpy outfits. The reason I played the class.
It would be not like I remember, and I really just need to do some research on this. But like whenever you make a character, you click on the going through the character portraits, and you see like these fancy outfits. There's not really any guild like any engineer or mesmer or what have you outfits, is there?
No.
Which we talked did we talk a little bit about this on the actual podcast, or was it like a pre-show thing where we were talking about legendary outfits?
I don't even remember.
Okay.
But
just legendary outfits.
I don't know. It would just be cool to see like my mesmer in a mesmer outfit that was just like it was an illusion into itself, and just like whenever you looked at it what was I even there, or was it just an illusion?
The clothing?
Well, no, like it would make me be like this constantly interdimensional thing.
Because that's what mesmers need, is the ability to make themselves even harder to point out.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Fuck mesmers.
Elementalists will just be on fire.
I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm kind of already on fire anyway.
No, it's just you suddenly become just, your version of a fire.
I'm just fucking Human Torch. Let's become Champions Online now.
Johnny Flame, go.
Flame on. Alright, so I think that's it for questions then.
I believe, that's it.
I think what we basically took out of that last question was we don't really necessarily need any other classes right now, or none that we can come up with, because every one that we came up with, we're like, well, you could do this to it, and it would actually just be a fix to this current class.
I think it's just, we'd like to see more things added to make the other professions way more badass, starting with engineers.
Yes. I think everybody wants that.
I want a reason like to play.
Yeah, totally. The engineer was almost going to be my main, like, but right at launch, at the last second, I changed it over from engineer to Ellie, and now I'm really glad I did, because engineer is not good in any way.
It's pretty harsh.
Yeah, I think we can finish this episode off though with any plugs we got.
Duren,
do you have any plugs?
Duren, go ahead.
Okay, I just was gonna say, just this channel, I guess. I'm going to stream some. I'm gonna finish Devil May Cry soon, or continue playing it, I guess, at least. I'm gonna finish Spec Ops: The Line, but I'll probably do that off stream because I'm already far enough in at this point. I mean, it's a 6-hour game, and I think I played about 4.5 hours of it. It would seem weird to just kind of pick that up in the middle. But Devil May Cry, I'm not as far in. I've only been playing a level at a time, so I think I finished like maybe 3 levels. Intifil, you're right. That is, yes, engineers are incredibly good in PvP. I wanted to call that because they are right. They are ridiculous in PvP. But yeah, so I'll be streaming stuff on here. This? Sorry, I just wanted to make sure I called that out because he's right. I said they were terrible in every way, and I was wrong. They are good in PvP.
No, it's like I wanted to say like that. I am seeing resurgence of engineers, but it's mainly just like grenade kits, and you can use the flamethrowers for campy things in WoW.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's just like, I don't...
There's at least
like,
somewhere where if somebody is leveling an engineer and they find that they can't do much of anything, they can at least go do that.
Yeah.
They don't have to just scrap the character. But anyway, back to the plug. Like I said, this channel, twitch.tv/Duren, I'm going to stream. I swear. I feel bad because I said that I was going to before and that I haven't yet. But I am going to. I'm definitely going to, because this coming week I'm going to be getting a new computer that'll run way better than the current one, which will allow for way better streaming. So definitely look for streams after that, for sure. That'll be like, I should be getting those parts Wednesday, so by Thursday or Friday I should be doing some better streaming.
Will you be streaming Lincoln Cast episode 40 live 3 hours ago?
This was episode 40.
I know. Yeah. I'll be streaming it.
I'll just quickly go through because Hawks wants to know the specs. I'm getting an i7 2700K. I went with that instead of the more current gen because they are better for overclocking. And then I'm keeping the 16 gigs of RAM that I have in this one, just switching them over. Same with the video card, the 560 Ti. I am putting in a 120 gig SSD for OS and other programs, and then a 250 SSD for games, and then the 1.5 terabyte here for kind of every other random thing. I think that's pretty much the specs. So not super, super high end, but much, much better than what I'm currently running. Right now I've got an i7-920 just to give you an idea. So anyway.
Very cool. Noob, any plugs for you, sir?
PC Gaming Hub? The PC Gaming Hub. Come play PC Gaming with us. Of course, had a full boyfriend. You know, if you want to learn about cool facts about sloths, panda bears, grizzly bears, Wikipedia facts about Japan, that's the video to watch.
And they can find that, I can't believe I'm encouraging this, but they can find that along with the other Lincoln podcasts. Oh God, not the Ryan Davis picture. They can find that on the YouTube page, which is just youtube.com/TheLincolnCast, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Should probably check that out, but I guess the other plugs I have are the as I said, a tinyurl.com/TheLincolnCast. For some reason, you like the /LincolnCast and no the just takes you to some search page. So China doesn't care, and they already took that URL from us. But yeah, if you go to TheLincolnCast, that gets you to our the Giant Bomb forums. And if you want to, you can sign up for the guild from there. Just make sure you read it, because if you just create an account and then sign up, and don't say anything about yourself or interact with the community, you are
saying your social security number and your what is it called, your postal code. That's all we need.
Yeah, no, we don't.
And your three sizes.
You can check out my twitch.tv/Thurbleton, but I nothing new. I'll probably stream some Natural Selection 2, some Hawken. I started playing Counter-Strike Source again.
Really?
Oh, what?
Yeah, which, I mean, like, me. I'm having fun with it, but at the same time, it's like I'm having trouble accepting the fact that I am one of those people that, like, when I was playing CS Source, were the people who are playing CS 1.5, in that I am not playing the newest Counter-Strike.
Right.
And I just, like...
But you're playing the better version of Counter-Strike, and that's what matters.
I like running around doing sprays of the Harlem Globetrotters, or Vanilla Ice when he was good, or the current one is Kanye West holding up this stupid statue of trophies.
That sounds like a good time.
That is why I like sprays.
I don't understand why they pulled sprays from Go. That's the dumbest thing.
I don't know.
I'm assuming it's because there were some gross sprays that were...
Get over it. Still, it's Steam. It's
because of those goddamn PlayStation 3 players.
That's new with me. If you want to, I will be at the Emerald City Comic Con. That's the start of the month. When the patch goes out, so you will probably be playing Guild Wars 2 instead. Also, SimCity comes out that week, so...
Oh, man.
Oh, fuck yes, SimCity.
Yeah. But if you're in Seattle, I'll be a guy wearing a Giant Bomb shirt, and you people watching the stream can see what I look like, I guess.
Answer, Mr. Dress Leona, the PS4 we did not really talk about on here. However, Cynic and I recorded
a leaking cast episode.
Yeah, Cynic and I recorded a 4-hour long podcast where we did talk about it.
I wish I was there.
It didn't get uploaded to YouTube because we try to keep just Linking Cast stuff on the Linking Cast channel on YouTube. But if you do go to
Hatiful Boyfriend.
Really? Yeah, I think we can put Scotchcast up there because Cynic's putting the Hatiful Boyfriends up there.
It was Cynic's idea to not put the Scotchcast up, so I'll talk to him, see if he wants to go ahead and upload those since he has them currently. But for right now, where you can find it, if you subscribe to us on YouTube or YouTube, iTunes, they are definitely being uploaded there. Or if you go to the Guild Wars 2 sub forum on Giant Bomb, which I think is also the tinyurl.com/no, that's not.
Actually, the tinyurl.com/thelinkingcast takes you to the forum page for Guild Wars 2 on Giant Bomb.
Okay.
Chief of which is the Giant Bomb, like, is the guild page. Cynic will put a thread in for every episode, so you can check it out there. Or if you just click the Giant Bomb guild thread, I have a section there for the Linking Cast, and you can subscribe via iTunes. I think there's a Podbean RSS.
Yeah.
And then there's the YouTube.
Yeah. Right.
So there's multiple ways to get there. The easiest way to start that path is, again, tinyurls.com/thelinkingcast.
Yeah, and like I said, I'll talk to Cynic. RPG. I'll talk to Cynic and see if we can get the Scotchcast stuff uploaded to here. Since I mean, I'd forgotten that your guys' crazy fucking Let's Play was being uploaded, so there's no reason Scotchcast can't be.
Just fulfilling our fantasies, man.
And then are you guys gonna do this again next week, live, or are we just gonna keep recording and then maybe do live somewhere in March? And apologies to people who did sit in on this since we did start an hour late.
Yeah. That was mostly my bad.
But
I totally forgot that we were doing a live one this week, so I wasn't in a huge hurry. So if we do it live again next week, which we'll say tentatively, unless something happens, we'll do it live next week.
I'd say, you know what? Check the Twitter. That's twitter.com/thelinkingcast.
Facebook page updated www.facebook.com/thelinkingcast.
No, Facebook. Don't please don't.
I can see all of your Facebook pages.
Just check the Twitter. If Durin and Cynic want to do it live, they will say fuck it, we're doing it live, and post it on Twitter.
Most likely it will be. The only reason I could see it maybe not being is if things go real bad with my computer upgrade and everything's on fire, and I don't think it's going to happen, but most likely we'll do it live.
Hey guys,
we can
send this out.
Noob, you want to shut it down?
Hey, fuck you. That's right. I don't care anymore because you guys didn't like the Facebook page. This is all I can come up with. Thank you.
I think Cynic will tune us down at that. Nice. Nope. Cynic, if you keep this playing, I'm going to be mad at you.
God damn it.
right.
Okay. With that, we're definitely out. I haven't stopped my recording yet. But that's because all your guys' things are overlapping my recording, so it would look real weird on the stream.
Oh, that was it. Have a nice day and fuck off. Wait, no, that wasn't it.
It's the traditional one, but
you
I don't
started
care.
It, Noob. How did you?
I did start it. You know, it's you need new material, different.
And yet you keep going back to that tongue thing.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't get the Jeff button fast enough, but yeah.
Goodbye.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in.
Yeah, definitely.
What we might do is like what I'd like to do if we keep doing this, keep this up, is after each show, assuming I don't have to work Sunday mornings, which usually don't, is we're like, okay, now that the show's over, we'll play this free to play game. Like everyone hop
Wizardry
in.
Online, everybody. Let's go.
Like everyone guess the X band and we'll do a guild bounty.
Ray play local co-op.
So like that's something fun that we might try doing in the future. I realize this is super late for some people, then it's also Saturday, so screw off.
Yeah.
Was there anything else?
Play Japanese porn games together. Local multiplayer.
What was that there? I couldn't hear you over Noob and his Ray play.
Were there any other specs you want to talk about?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I mean, I was just trying to quickly run it through my head without too much dead air, but
Ghost Recon Online is a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know.
It's a free-to-play Ghost Recon game.
Like, wait, okay.
I think it was released in Asia first.
The game where if you get shot once, you're at 50% health.
Yeah.
I am speechless.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like I said, it was originally, I believe, released just in Asia.
Oh, wow.
But I think it's like worldwide now or something. Yeah, that's totally a thing, man. Dude, Need for Speed Online is a thing.
I still remember my first time getting into the community gaming scene. I was like, I wasn't even in high school. There was a cyber cafe in this place called Broderpool in the district of Indianapolis, where it was a two-story thing. And after a certain time, the kids could only go to the top floor. The lower floor was for like drinking and all that. And so we went, me and my buddies, like 7th or 8th graders, we went up to the top floor, started playing. I don't think it was Ghost Recon. It was one of the Tom Clancy games.
Rainbow Six?
What was it, new?
Rainbow Six?
I think it was Rainbow Six. Because that's dating me. That was at least 10, 15 years ago.
So that would be like Rainbow Six. It wouldn't be Raven Shield. It would be before that.
I think it was Rainbow Shield. It was one of those.
Was it Rainbow Shield?
But okay. We were playing this, and we were playing on the land, and then some guy gets on from the lower floor, and we are really bad. We're just playing a co-op game, and we're like, we're 30 terrorists. We're getting like down to 28 and then dying. And then he gets on and just smokes everyone. We're like, whoa! And it's like, wait, you're in the building? It's like, yeah, can you come upstairs? Dude was a freaking cop.
Wow.
And he just sits down. He's got like I can't remember if he had a beer, just a coffee or something, but he sits down and just plays on the computers next to us. And I was set. I was like, this is awesome.
I want to be a cop when I grow up now so I can kill dudes in Rainbow Six.
So I can be good at video games.
We played Rainbow Six a lot recently.
That is crazy. I might have to just look into that and see what that world is like. I don't know if I can play it.
So when I was in the beta, I'm like, I joined the game and then I got killed a bunch of times, so I uninstalled it.
Oh, for Ghost Recon?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, that'll happen.
By the way, I don't know if I just need to refresh to see this, but on the Twitch page it says, oh god, what am I doing? You're playing Magicka.
Oh, no. You pulled it up before I updated. I updated it shortly before we went live.
Okay, sweet.
Let's talk about anime, guys. What anime have you seen?
Let's not talk about anime.
I'm going
really
to go to bed.
Good, actually.
I will see you guys later.
Thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll be back again next week with more like a guest.
Check Twitter.